Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Tuesday edition. This is the day edition. The day that we will not soon forget edition. The day where everything could change edition. The Jesse Nelson's birthday edition. Oh, and the NFL trade deadline edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. I know five different people whose birthday it is today.
Wow.
And I don't know where I'd put you on your in my power rankings.
Oh.
Well, who do you got? Let's hear it.
I got Caitlin Sharkey, who used to be at Fox 6 in Milwaukee. Now she's
right,
a big star in Chicago.
Jesse's ahead of Caitlin.
When's the last time you talked to Caitlin Sharkey?
Yeah, Jesse's ahead of Caitlin.
We talk every day, Jason. When's the last time you talked to Caitlin?
Yeah, not by choice. Papa, our old buddy Papa,
ooh,
Ryan Zachary. I love Papa.
I love
right?
Papa.
Dana Jacobson, who I used to be on, well, what was it called? It was First Take. It wasn't Cold Pizza.
Cold Pizza, yeah. She was on
she's
Cold
on
Pizza.
CBS now.
That show sucked, if we're being honest.
What?
That's why it got canceled. Cold Pizza sucked.
It became First Take, and then they made it a shouting show.
No,
my role was.
Aware. It's much better now.
Eliminated.
Much better show now.
I thought it was much better when I was on it regularly. Anyway, edition of Wilde and Tausch.
That's only four.
Well,
who's
I'm not going to do the rest. You don't know Lisa Knuth. Sorry. You don't know
Lisa
Juliet Marcoux.
Tell me more about Lisa. Can Lisa be the number one seed?
I like her a lot. She's a really good person. Her son is in Maddie's class. We like her. We're a big fan. Of Wilde and Tausch.
You got Lisa ahead of me?
I didn't rank any of them. I just ran down the list. I think Papa's ahead of you, though. Everybody loves Papa.
Jesse, if I'm being honest, you're number one on my list of Jason's.
Oh, thanks, Tausch.
That's
nice. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. In retrospect, I should have just gone with trade deadline day, which is what I was thinking about doing, but I wanted to acknowledge his birthday. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. The birthday boy is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. Oh, don't act like you're low on my list.
Yeah,
come on. Don't be a victim.
A crummy enough
I don't
birthday.
Think you have him higher than three. I don't think you got him higher than three on that list.
I talk to him every day. You heard him say that. And why is it a crummy
not
birthday?
Not by choice. I heard you say that.
Why is today a crummy birthday already?
Because of everything else going on. It's low priority for everybody, including me.
You should be used to that since your parents left town for a birthday.
It's really gone downhill since they left town for the 30th to go to Vegas. Yeah, that was where it all started to go
Jesse,
downhill.
I have an interesting question because you're a tier guy.
And from his undisclosed location,
one,
it's Mark Tauscher.
Even at this point in your life, do your tier one friends get you a card, a gift? Do they text you? Kind of give me the layout. Obviously, Becca will get you something, I would think. And then
maybe.
Is your tier one, is tier one Tyler's going to drop off Bubbler? How does it, how do you, because you're so open about this, how do you rank that as far as phone call, text, Facebook post. How do you look at it from a birthday perspective?
Great question.
I expect nothing more than a text from the closest friends and family. I think birthday cards.
Except your parents.
I think birthday cards are kind of the way of the handshake in 2020 for Utah. I think birthday cards.
The handshake came way back though.
It did, and maybe maybe birthday cards will make a comeback. But I don't expect or really even want a birthday card. I feel like if you're gonna go, you know, like waste of money to wish someone a birthday, like you get someone a card, you go spend money at the convenience store to buy a card that may or may not be suitable and funny and, you know, best fitting for someone's
if
personality.
They're gonna go pick out a card, if they're picking out a card, they're doing something in it that fits.
Yeah, but
question though.
Then just text me.
This is what I'm really interested in.
Call me.
Okay,
boy.
So I kind of agree with your. You're 30. How old are you now? 32.
33 today. 33.
Wow.
I know.
It's the year Jesus passed. I think he was a 33-year-old when he passed and then resurrected. It's true. Jesus was 33.
That's what I heard.
Were we expecting a crucifixion?
I don't think
so. What are we doing here?
But so, Jesse, can you have a...
What, do we need Domofsky with his plane crash story? What are we doing?
What are you talking about?
Well, you just
I'm just pointing out other 33rd birthdays.
Larry Bird wore number 33. I'm just saying maybe
there's a lot of
the killing of our Lord and Savior is not the direction we wanted to go.
William Henderson.
He resurrected. It's a whole deal. Just go study it. Anyways,
he resurrected. It's a whole deal.
They made a book about it.
When I'm looking at this, I agree with your assessment. It's nice to get text. Group text chains? Do you have? If you have 17 people on a group text chain, do you respond back if it's, you know, someone that's like a marginal friend? Do you expect it if everybody is sending it? And then the other thing is, can people elevate in your tierdom based off of their birthday responses to you?
All great questions.
I have some power rankings of ways I'd like to be wished happy birthday, if you'd like to hear those.
Sure. How about in the YouTube chat, which I'm doing right now?
YouTube chat, probably the lowest form of wishing me happy birthday. All the YouTube dwellers over there. Yeah. Number one, phone call. Number one, phone call. Not 9 to noon, preferably. Please do not call the studio line to wish me happy birthday. I do not want that.
Is the studio line number again?
844-770-3776. Don't call it to wish me happy birthday.
Okay.
Phone call from...
Y'all know what to do. Hey, all of our loyal listeners, y'all know what to do.
Phone call from friends, family, the happy birthday singing on the phone. That's always very nice. Okay. And then you get to catch up with everybody for a minute. That's always fun. Number two is
that
the text. Number two is the text because it's still personal, one-on-one. I want it individually. I don't want it in a group text to 17 people.
No. I agree with that.
Don't wish Jesse happy birthday in the fantasy football group text. That's not the place to do
Totally agree.
Send a one-on-one.
Okay.
Send it with the balloons or like the fireworks or whatever. That's always fun.
Some celebratory stuff.
Make it a little special, you know. Then it's a big drop-off. Then we're probably getting to the birthday card, which I already said I think is a total waste of money and time, honestly, for the people that are picking them out.
I disagree more on the birthday card. It takes time.
You were just agreeing with him a minute ago on it.
No, I like a good birthday card. I just said you have to. People take time to think about it.
It and is they much write more special in it.
Than
yes.
what just yes. Yeah. I never agreed with him about that.
I don't want you to go waste $6 picking out a Hallmark card at the local convenience store.
Why don't you worry about what
store?
I want to waste my money on? How's that, old jelly?
Just seems like a waste of money to say happy birthday. Okay. Oh, getting old, huh? Like. Just text me that if you want to say something to me. Facebook message is definitely low.
That is, you might as well just, fart
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
The Facebook message, get out of here with that.
You're not even on
That's
Facebook.
An obligation. That's an obligation deal. It's Johnny's birthday on Facebook. No, it sucks.
Like, it used to be a thing, like either the day
it's
after
over,
or whatever
dead.
You go through, you say you like them all, you say thanks, you know, Patricia, happy birthday to you too. Like,
thanks, Patricia.
We're not doing that anymore. And then I guess like no recollection at all is probably just below that. Or no acknowledgement at all, not recollection.
I actually don't mind getting one the day after. I don't mind that. It's kind of a nice little refresher. Oh, I forgot, but I got to go. I don't mind that.
I don't mind the late birthday wish. I don't mind the late birthday wish at all.
I actually love preemptively doing it, too. I like to be first. There'll be times two of my friends from college, their birthdays are back-to-back, and I'll call both on that day because otherwise I'll forget and won't do it. And I think the one that's on the 15th of March always is like, oh, that's really nice. Thank you. You know my birthday is the next day. I said, yes. And that's kind of the shtick. Jason, do you agree with this power rankings, or where do you go on this?
I don't. First of all, again, Jesse, you can live your life however you choose. But somewhere in there, we probably have to acknowledge that it's just nice when someone acknowledges your birthday at all and remembers that it's your birthday and takes the time out of their busy day, because we're all busy, to say, hey, Jesse, happy birthday, buddy. I appreciate you. Which is what I would do if I didn't have to spend 3 hours with you and didn't want to make this into a shtick about it being your birthday and it not being... Oh, my God.
Hey, buddy, I just wanted to call, man. I know I was thinking, like, what could I do power ranking-wise that would say happy birthday to my producer for all these years and just say how much I appreciate your humor and fun and tweeting at me? Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks, Tosh. I appreciate it. Appreciate the call.
Happy birthday, Tony Cartagena. All right, so we have celebrated Jesse's birthday as we only know how, and we are happy that he is here.
Where did mom and dad go to vacation this week?
I just got a call from the Badgers Radio Network analyst. I think we should have him back on later this week.
No, we're not going to talk Badgers till Thursday. We'll talk Badgers Thursday.
Seems like a bad week to have him on.
We'll break down the election results on Thursday and the Badger game. How's that?
And preview Wisconsin-Oregon, which is coming up on November 16th. All right, we are celebrating Jesse's birthday. I personally am a believer, to answer your actual question before you called the radio studio line, is I prefer text or call because that takes a little more effort than just happy birthday. I mean, Facebook has made it so easy that I get an alert that says, hey, it's Jesse Nelson and five other people's birthday today. I open that
Linda
up.
Linda Knuth.
And Lisa.
And I
Big
can,
Linda.
Lisa.
Big Linda. Birthday
and
girl.
I could type in happy birthday into the little field to all of them and be done with it like that. That's impersonal.
Yeah, what is so lame? I don't want any. That would, to me, is a slap to the face.
So
don't
I'm gonna,
even do
I,
it.
I'm going to text Papa and Caitlin and Lisa and Dana. And I don't
Linda?
Think I don't think I have to text Jesse anymore. I feel like we've spent a fair amount of time. I think we've done more than enough actually. So we will do that. We will celebrate Jesse's birthday. We will celebrate the trade deadline day, which is, if you're an NFL fan, a major date.
Is it possible Gina? Is it possible Gina Della's birthday is today? Do we know what day her birthday is?
I'm Facebook friends with Gina, and she's not on today's birthday list. So whenever she's turning 60, it's not today.
All right.
But you can celebrate your birthday and celebrate hers with getting great windows and being able to pay as you go for the next 60 months with 0% interest.
You get the look you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella. The durability of materials, it gets tested tens of thousands of times to ensure that they last for years to come. Pella offers custom colors, innovative features like shades between the glass. Right now, celebrate Gina's 60th. Thank God it's not Jesse's. You'd only get 33. But with Gina, you get 60. 0-4-60. Zero down, zero interest, 60 months. Certain restrictions do apply. Hold your appointment on or before November 8th. Get started today at PellaWI.com.
So if I'm reading this correctly in the rundown, Jesse has conjured up, or did somebody do this for you? I want to make sure that whoever did it gets the credit. If it's you, certainly you deserve it. But a little bit later in the show, I had... what I enjoyed was a back and forth with the head coach about the Jordan Love interception a palooza. And I thought he actually did, in his way, answer the question. But you're telling me that not only are you going to be able to play the audio, but for our YouTube, what'd you call them, dwellers?
No, the commenters are the dwellers on YouTube.
Yeah. I'm also here to tell you that doesn't seem positive. That did not go over particularly well in the YouTube comments.
You know, the dwellers would take
jump
offense
into
to that.
YouTube. The problem is it doesn't let me respond to anything. I can't punch anything in. I can look at it, but I can't punch.
Well, I don't want you to punch. I want you to type. But be that as it may, we are going to both see the video and hear the audio. So both of our audiences, the audio audience and the video audience, we'll see the back and forth with Matt LaFleur. That's coming up during the 10 o'clock hour, so please stick around for that. We will talk to Evan Cohen coming up, and we will get to the trade deadline as well. I'm not having a short-term memory issue. I was busy checking all the YouTube comments for all the anger for calling them dwellers. You did talk
Jesse.
About Pella Windows and Doors, right? I wasn't paying close
we
attention.
We did. Yeah, it's Gina's 60th. Jesse's 33. Much better to get Gina's deal than Jesse's
just,
deal.
Just making
yeah,
sure. Going over real well with the good people of the YouTube channel.
You know what Jesse loves doing on his birthday? Just urinating
insulting
on people.
People.
That's what Jesse likes doing. There you go.
More insults next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
If you suggest that people are, quote, dwellers, this is the question that's being discussed. Are you then alleging
that
they're... On YouTube, yeah. And I got a separate independent text, kind of like a birthday text, instead of just doing it in the YouTube comments. Are you insinuating that they are trolls? Dweller sounds like, you know, you live under a bridge kind of a thing.
It's basement.
Cellar dweller.
I think it's looked at as like basement living.
Yeah.
Like basement living with their parents is, I think, if, Jesse's implication.
If I was to think of a verb to describe many, not all, but many of the YouTube commenters, lurking would certainly be in the mix, yeah.
This show would be better if Riley was the producer.
Dwellers.
Well, just wait till Fridays.
The dwellers are just proving my point.
I believe you poked them with a stick. So there's a few people trying to help, you know, trying to say nice things about you. But again, when you insult a group of people,
yeah, they're gonna.
They usually don't take that too kindly. Just a tip.
I didn't say it as an insult.
In fairness, Ahmad St. Brown insulted the Packers. That didn't seem to do a ton.
Can I take back my happy birthday wish?
Jesse is the Ahmad St. Brown of this show.
Amon-Ra St. Nelson. All right. It is the trade deadline today. It is 3 p.m. for those of you that are unaware. 3 p.m. Central, that is 4 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Mountain, and 1 p.m. Pacific. Tausch.
And then if it's Hawaii with the clocks turned, is that 12 or 11?
I don't know. I've never been to Hawaii. I'd like to go there someday.
I think it's usually 6 hours.
I thought it was 5 hours Central Time to Hawaii.
It always flips when the clocks change because I don't think
because they don't do the clock
the
change
DSL.
Thing in Hawaii.
Yeah, I don't think they DSL it.
What time is it in Rome right now? And what time is it in wine country? Just trying to keep track of all your different time zones. 3 o'clock Wisconsin time.
Yeah.
By 3:01, will the Green Bay Packers have shipped someone out, brought someone in, or none of the above? Sounds like a poll question.
Nothing. I think they stand pat. The only spot that I think they would be semi-aggressive in is if they can get a corner that they like that is still under 30. Like, I don't think the Lattimore, and I saw that, told you yesterday, his cap number's gargantuan. You have to give up a second probably to get him. So I don't think that's a fit. Yeah, it'd be great to add him this year, but I don't think that's in the cards. The big question I have is you're frustrated with your pass rush. You have young guys that you're thinking about wanting to see. Like, I think Kingsley Barre has been really good. He has been one guy that I think you could say has really done some things with his limited opportunities. You have Lucas Van Ness, who's a young player. He needs to play. You have to get him. So if someone calls and asks for P. Smith, and they're going to give a fourth or a fifth, I don't know.
What if they're
Jim?
Giving a sixth or a seventh? Because they're not giving a fourth or a fifth for him.
I mean, you're probably right. But people are hungry for pass rushers. You're not going to do it to Detroit, and Detroit picked their guy up, Zadarius. And wouldn't they love to have the Smith brothers reunion? They could do those fun little catchy press conferences together.
Yeah,
in the
and then
room.
Zadarius can quit on the team. It would be great.
Relive all that. I think Detroit shot for the moon, and I think they're going to be happy with if they can get a little production from Zadarius, they'll be happy. But that would be the only move I think that Green Bay would make outside of maybe someone for a sixth or a seventh. And I don't think they're going to trade Preston Smith, but I would think if someone is in need of a veteran pass rusher more so, I wouldn't mind seeing that and letting some of these young guys, really Kingsley, I think has deserved and earned more opportunities. I would be all right with that.
Good. You and I are on the same page because that's exactly the thing that I was going to predict that they would do. Because it would clear a path. It would be basically Rasul Douglas 2.0. Which, again, I still don't believe, and Goody can, you know, I'm not going to bring it back up today when we talk to him at 4:30. But when you're 3-6, and you, I'm not going to. When you're 3-6, and you trade away Rasul Douglas during a season in which Jair Alexander is not playing because of a myriad of injuries, you do not think you're going to be a playoff team when you make that trade. You don't. You just don't. That's why it's different now. That's why it's different now. So I would think that it's unlikely that they would...
If the Packers could call Billy Beane right now and say, Beanie, we need Rasul back. We'll give you a fourth. Buffalo's not going to do it. Would Green Bay ever do that?
I don't think so. I don't know how he's playing. I have not watched a lot of Bills games.
What are you distracted by?
Marco Rivera texted me.
Okay.
He's asking if I'm still planning on driving to South Dakota. Was I driving to South Dakota? Is my phone listening to me and sending me text messages from random Packers offensive linemen? My truck is getting fixed in Sioux Falls. What is happening here? This is why I'm distracted.
Give him a call.
I will give Jet. Well, we've got Evan Cohen coming up next, so we'll have to talk to Marco a little bit later. But I'll call him in the commercial break and tell him Tausch and I would love to have you on. Reporting.
Yeah,
from...
we need him on Thursday. It'd be a good day to have him on. Yeah.
Because I'm daring to take a day off, yeah. I will reach out to Marco Rivera.
No, I just mean tomorrow is always Balaga. And that's interesting that you're going to South Dakota.
Yeah, it's news to me. And I mean, everybody loves South Dakota on this show. Everybody.
Well, I'm a fan.
Wait a minute.
Jesse doesn't love it, but he doesn't
You hate South Dakota? You don't like the YouTube commenters. You don't like people who just post on Facebook happy birthday. Or as John points out in the YouTube comments, the worst are the ones that can't even be bothered to type out happy birthday. They just write HBD on Facebook.
That's efficiency.
It is efficiency. But now you're telling me that you don't like South Dakota?
I mean, that's kind of always been the thing with South Dakota is Tausch loved going and watching people dig in the dirt. And when he came back and shared how great his vacation was with us, we met it with, really? Is that the...
Is this some sort of birthday tradition? Insult as many people as you can?
No.
Is that what you're doing for your birthday?
No,
YouTube commenters, Facebook posters, South Dakota residents. Who else do you don't like, Jesse?
The Cubs.
Craig Council.
He doesn't like the Cubs. That's true. Not a Cubs guy.
Boog Shambi. This is going to turn. It's not election day. It's Festivus. We're just going to air all of our grievances.
Get ready for spring and do it now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse, like the end of that segment. Over winter, potholes and crack curbs and drainage issues. Well, if things are bad now, call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed. Schedule a free, no obligation quote and a walkthrough of your pavement. They'll be able to see signs of asphalt pavement work needed by spotting fatigue, cracking, standing water, warping, buckling, sinking pavement, and more. Don't scare away customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now. Save money later. JohnsonSonsPaving.com. That's a pretty good drop by me, I think. Keep us on the clock.
Good job congratulating yourself. Yeah, I noticed some asphalt, too, right there. All right, Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike joins us as he does every Tuesday. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin Sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN. I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free. If I don't get out of this town, I just might be the one who finally burns.
You know what that music means? It means a Tausch and Evan are going to see the Killers at the Sphere sometime in the future.
Are they announced at the Sphere?
They're not yet, no, but I'm assuming that they would love to play their hometown and have you guys in attendance. In attendance right now on the show. You see him on Unsportsmanlike every morning and hear him. It is Evan Cohen on Wilde and Tausch. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Jason. Did you hear, by the way, you may have heard, I don't know, I was told some amazing information about what happened Saturday during the Wisconsin-Iowa game?
I have not heard this.
No, what's going on? I didn't hear it.
Tell me more.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. So, you know, when Wisconsin and Iowa play, I mean, that brings back so many memories. Like, which former D1 wide receiver was the best skier? Because per sources close to me, Tausch is the king of blowouts. Like, if there's a blowout game going on in sports, there's no broadcaster you want on it more than Tausch. So as our guy Matt LePay is trying to call a game, Tausch decided to break down whether or not former Iowa receiver Tim Dwight was a great skier. I'm not kidding.
It's true. It's true, I did.
and he
so
was confused.
I don't know what at what point.
Bloom.
Yeah, I screwed that one up. But I don't know for sure. I do not know for sure if Tim Dwight skied. But what I will say is Matt brought up Tim Dwight because Iowa has a really good return guy. And he was discussing it, and he mentioned Tim Dwight. And I just randomly in conversation, because you want to have a conversation when you're doing radio. That's typically, obviously, the way you'd like to see
it. That's a good tip. Thanks.
Well, yeah. Especially up to,
we got to go back to school for that one.
Well, anyways, is that on the content call?
At this point, well, you wouldn't know, Jason.
How you
ever
you
listen.
Know?
But
never
I don't know. That's exactly
what I snap.
The score was, I don't know what it was. It was getting out of hand. So he said that. And then I said, oh, Tim Dwight was a great mogul skier. I didn't even see skiing. And there'll be a couple times a broadcast that LePay will give me a look like, what the hell are you talking about? And then he lets it go. We come back, and then I say, just randomly, like two series later, I said, you know what, Matt? I think that was Jeremy Bloom. So I fact-checked myself, but what I don't know, I know Bloom was a great skier, wide receiver for the Eagles. And by the way, and Evan told me this a couple of weeks ago, or I don't know when, that this Molly Bloom, I told you guys about that Molly's Game, the movie I saw on an airplane.
Great movie.
Great movie.
Great movie.
That's Jeremy Bloom's sister doing that.
Correct, Molly Bloom.
So yeah, what I don't know, so we got two or
is
three
she related
good
to
pieces
Tim Dwight?
Of intel. I don't know if Tim Dwight has ever skied. So I have not done the research. He was a heck of a punt returner. He was a very good receiver. But I'm going to tell you, Tim Dwight, I don't know if he was a mogul skier.
So I don't know if there's any fans out there, and if there are, I apologize, that, like, intentionally, in a comical, non-harmful way, take Wilby and Tausch quotes out of context and just tweet them out. If there is someone who does that, the concept of Tausch just saying, I don't know if Tim Dwight was a skier, it's just a great out-of-context quote, but I have to ask a follow-up on this. You kind of alluded to this, Tausch. The bringing up of the correction of the skiing, there was no context in the broadcast when that happened. Like, LaPay is calling a play, and then he's looking for your reaction, and you're just like, you know what, I think it was Jeremy Bloom, the skier, not Tim Dwight.
Yes.
Like, with no, hey, you remember what we were talking about earlier? It was just out of nowhere?
Handoff Walker, right side, pickup of two, sets up second. I think it was Jeremy Bloom.
It wasn't quite to that degree, but yeah, there was, it was definitely out of context. I mean, it was definitely not in the flow of the game because obviously Tim Dwight doesn't play and Jeremy Bloom doesn't play. So yeah, it's really hard to fit that in. I think maybe there was a jet sweep or something that a wide receiver caught. I don't know, 100% sure how that fit, but.
I want to say one other thing. I also told Tausch and Jason and Jesse, I don't know if you guys have seen this. So when we were talking about the idea of Molly's Game, great movie with Jessica Chastain, Jessica Chastain is a phenomenal actress. But she's in a movie called Miss Sloan that I think is one of the most unknown, underrated movies I've ever seen in my life. It is fantastic. I'm not trying to get political, but she's a lobbyist. And it's just unbelievable, that movie. Have you guys ever seen that?
I have not.
No.
I think I started and fell asleep.
Oh, Tausch, so that's the ultimate endorsement. Jesse not liking something means
I want to watch
it.
Yeah, Jesse didn't like it, I probably. Anytime I hear the name Sloan, I think of Entourage. Big fan of Sloan.
Emmanuel
Entourage.
Have you ever seen the picture of C and I?
I heard you two knew each other. Yeah. You guys are friends.
She sat in front of me at a Broadway musical when we were on our honeymoon and made out with her boyfriend throughout the entire show. And I couldn't.
And that was the first time Jason and I went to a show together.
Wow.
And I couldn't figure out how I knew her until after I left. I'm like, God, she looks so familiar. And then I realized it was Sloan. I think of Ferris Bueller.
Well, she did something with Rogers for Congo, I want to say.
She did. You're correct. On like the UW campus. Good pull. I'd like to pull something else from your show, though, because this has been a conversation that we've been having, obviously, ever since, not just Sunday's game, but previously, and that is about Jordan Love. And you asked Michelle Smallman, or Mishmel Smallman, as I tend to call her on this show, about Jordan Love. And for those that did not see it on Unsportsmanlike or across their social media channels, here is the question that Evan asked, and more importantly, the answer that Packers fan Michelle Smallman answered.
Jordan Love took the Green Bay Packers on a good playoff run last year. Jordan Love got his contract. Jordan Love is a franchise quarterback, undoubtedly, at this point. Is Jordan Love worse than he should be right now?
How can you not say that? He is, with the interceptions. I mean, especially for you last year. You know what it is? It's reminding me of shades of the conversations we had around Josh Allen last year, that he's really good and will put your team in a position to win, but also there's that moment where he can put his team in a position to lose, or at least put his team at a deficit. And that's kind of how I feel watching Jordan Love right now. He'll have some of these unbelievable throws, and you'll be so impressed by him, and you still have confidence in him, of course, but you just have that anticipation that the turnover is coming, that the interception or the bad decision or the bad throw is coming. And unfortunately, at this point, you can kind of set your watch to it.
I thought that was a really good response. What did you think in real time while you were listening to her, as a, especially considering she has now joined the ranks of Packers fans and she's viewing it that way about her quarterback?
Yeah, and first of all, happy birthday to Jesse, by the way. I don't think I said that, so let me just get that in there.
Aw, thanks, Evan.
Send him a card.
So, and I thought it was fair because I think what I kind of narrow this all down to, guys, is my assumption of what he was versus what he is, and neither one of them is a knock, but it's just not what I anticipated. And what I mean by that is I thought because he was trained by Rodgers, he was going to be Rodgers. I did not realize he was going to be Favre. And I think by being Favre, there are some things – I'm talking about on-field, obviously. There are some things that come along with the territory that I did not anticipate. I expected him to be efficient. I expected him to not turn the ball over because, you know, Rodgers' best years always had 7 interceptions or less, right? High touchdown, low turnover, et cetera. Well, with Favre, it's, oh, my God, I can't believe he threw that, slash, oh, my God, I can't believe he made that play. And when I said that on our show, 589 on ESPN Wisconsin, Canty had a fair response. He said, well, to be fair, not knocking either one or complimenting either one, Favre got to 2, Rodgers got to 1. And so the argument would be, if this is what he is, historically, that version of a Packers quarterback has actually worked better than the efficient version of the Packers quarterback. I personally, as a fan of the sport, am more turned off by the guy that's turnover prone and turned on from a football perspective by the guy that just takes care of the ball. Is that wrong?
It's an interesting way to put it.
You don't like the turn off, turn on thing? Is that what you're saying there, Tosh? I'm just trying to understand what you didn't like about that.
That old thing was a little bit goofy.
He said from a football perspective.
I didn't say you were being creepy. I just said it was weird.
What's creepy is what you just did to make it creepy, actually.
Yeah.
Don't try to subject it. No, I thought it was creepy.
No, I'd like to know. I'd like to survey the audience, including the birthday boy. What was more creepy, me using turned off and turned on from a football perspective, or Tausch pointing out me using turning off and turning on?
Yeah, Tausch made something out of nothing, and the outstanding analysis of, huh? Oh,
get out of here. You guys were all afraid of
that. 5 seconds was, yeah.
It was awkward. I can't say something is awkward now? I have to just say, it was awkward.
Well, I would say, I think you made it more awkward.
I maybe did.
Tim Dwight.
That's fair.
I wish we were talking about Tim Dwight right about now.
I don't know if that's a fair equivalency, though, to say, well, I want guys that are going to turn the ball over more because he made 2 Super Bowls and not 1. Because there's Reggie White, there's a lot of... Well, that's what you said. That's what turned you on from a football perspective.
I understand. I don't think that's what it is. So it's fair. I understand why you would take it that way. Let me try to phrase it better. I'll do it in a question form. Do you believe that sometimes the risk taker is necessary to win big games, right? Like if you're going to beat the Lions or beat the Niners or beat any of the Eagles, Washington, any of these teams that the Packers are ultimately going to have to beat, you need more of a risk taker than a conservative quarterback relative to, I'm not going to make that throw because it may not go my way.
Now that is a really interesting point.
Really good question, and I think it all comes down to, because a great example was Sunday. Detroit came in and said, they are risk takers. Jordan Love is a risk taker. It's a sloppy day. We're not taking any risk because they are going to give us some stuff. And when they do, we'll pounce, we'll take a 3-score lead, and we'll coast to a victory. It's all about understanding what you need. And that's why I don't have a problem with Jordan throwing picks. I have a problem with Jordan throwing bad pick sixes against teams that he shouldn't do that. You know, you should never do it, but you can understand if you're down 2 scores and you're trying to fire a ball down the seam and a safety makes a good play on it, tip the cap. But those decisions...
Right.
you're never going to win. And we said this when he threw the pick six against the Rams. You're not beating good teams doing that. You can beat average teams, but you're not going to beat the big boys.
Tash, you and I both play tennis. Jason, I don't know if you do, but a lot of times in tennis, if you know the other person is feast or famine, your entire game plan is just to turn everything back to them and let them screw up. Does that become the game plan against the Packers? Just let Jordan Love
screw up. It was Sunday. It was on Sunday, for sure. So that's the part of this I don't get.
Screw up less.
Well, that's part of the growing process. So how much leeway are you giving? You didn't give Josh Allen any leeway last year. This year you are. He's obviously played really well. He's only got, I think, two picks on the season. Where are you at with Jordan Love? Do you agree in the fact that he has not progressed to the point that you thought he would after what you saw last season?
Yeah. So in the comparative contrast that Smalls brought up, I'm all in on the Buffalo Bills this year because it's very self-centered and selfish. The Buffalo Bills this year are literally doing everything that I suggest teams should do when you have great quarterback play. Limit mistakes. Don't ask him to do too much until you need him to do too much. Don't pay wide receivers. Spread out the wealth with guys that can protect him, right? They are the living embodiment of that, and Love has been, Allen has been better this year than he's been at any point in his career. That said, Josh Allen had a lot of years of honestly playing dumb football. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love doesn't have that. He does not have that. So I can't go all the way in like the, I'm dismissing Jordan Love. What I can tell you is very simply, I thought the Green Bay Packers would be better by now in games that he was the starter. That's what I think. That doesn't mean they can't make a run. That doesn't mean he's not going to be great.
Yeah, it's interesting because are the expectations too high? Because you look at this. Last year at this time, and I know it's not a comp, Jason, because last year was so new. But if you'd have told me that the Green Bay Packers are going to be 6-3 at their bye, I would have said, okay, yeah. But is it just that the way they've lost games or what? Because not everybody's the Kansas City Chiefs. You're going to lose some games. Green Bay has lost to good teams.
But Tausch, their win percentage is better in games he hasn't played than what he has played. That's the weird part of getting the 6-3. Now, that also very easily could be spun positive for Goody in that, wow, what an identification of Malik Willis and getting somebody that was that competent at that position to back up Jordan
Love. It definitely
Love.
Has been but spun that goes, way, for sure.
Yeah. So
by me.
There's also another part of this. I could rewind the clock to a year ago. We had this conversation on this show when I was fortunate enough to join you guys a year ago. I'll ask it again. Is Jordan Love a fifth-year quarterback or is Jordan Love a second-year quarterback?
Second year.
Well, then you're fine. Then all good. No big deal. None of this is a big deal. You're
right.
6-3.
Good. Good.
But if, he's a fifth, if you look at him as a fifth year, Jason, there's some things that you got to get better with.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not a black and white answer on that one for me because he's not truly a fifth-year quarterback. He's not truly a second-year quarterback, right? I mean, let's even give him 2020 with COVID and no off-season program and coming out of the draft as a guy that would have sat regardless. He wasn't even the number two quarterback. He was the number three quarterback. So let's take that one off the list. But 21 and 22 still count. He started a game in 21. He went into the Philly game in 22. He had all those reps on the scout team. So I don't think we can give him he's only a second-year starter. I think it has to be a little bit higher of expectation for him. Not, he's in his fifth NFL season, high expectation. But there's some sort of dividing line there, in my opinion, that puts him...
Okay, so wait, you may have just hit it, Jason. So let's say he's 3.5 years into his career. Let's split the difference. Jesse, can you find quarterbacks in the NFL as starters that are 3.5 years into their career and what they look like right now? Because Jason,
I'll text Josh.
I got to get past this Tim Dwight skiing stuff I've been looking up. I'll see what I can do.
It's,
All I found on Tim Dwight's skiing. All I found on Tim Dwight's skiing was that he was a big jet skier, but not mogul skier.
That's a form of skiing.
that's what you have, Jesse, looking up the jet ski. But I'm saying, if you're going to look, if you're going to say, all right, split the difference, not second, not fifth, it's gray. Make it three and a half years in.
Sure.
Who else could be 3.5 years in, and what do they look like?
Yeah, we'll get our research staff on that because Jesse won't.
So, how about Jalen Hurts middle of last year? He's 4.5 in.
What's that?
Jalen Hurts middle of last year.
He's better than where Jalen Hurts was last year, but he's sloppy with the football.
Is he better where Jalen Hurts is
and
right
I was gonna
now?
Just ask. I was gonna. No, Jalen Hurts isn't turning it over like
right.
Like Jordan's.
Jalen Hurts took a team.
So, question for both
of
you.
Yes.
That was 3 years ago, dude. That's like, you know how that goes. So, quick question for both of you. As a Packer fan, and I know, Evan, you're not a Packer fan, but neither is Jason. Should Packer fans be disappointed in where Jordan Love is at 5.5 years into his career? I would say absolutely not.
I don't think so. I think there's, again, we're in this gray area. Absolutely.
Sounds like we're
disappointed. No, I don't think they should be disappointed. I think they have a right to sit there and say, I hope what we see now is not what we see after 17 games. Mm-hmm. And if it is, then we're getting to a place of, uh-oh, he's good. He's really good. But is he Super Bowl good? Is he MVP good? Right? Like, they're trending more in the, I'm a little confused by this guy than I'm sure as to what he is.
Huh.
I think,
you agree?
Yes, because I think to say you're disappointed is way too strong. But that's why I wanted to play what Michelle said, because I think the way Evan asked the question and the way she answered it was the best way. Like, you just want him to be. And here's the problem. If you're a Packers fan or if you're me covering this team, is that I think we all of us, myself included, felt like he was beyond these types of gaffes. That's why, and I said this at the time, I said it the next day on this very show, the interception that he throws in San Francisco or Santa Clara, first down, plenty of time left in the game, right, to go tie the game. Across his body, late over the middle into triple coverage. That was so jarring at the time because the way he'd played in the final 8 regular season games, in the playoff game against the Cowboys, and for 2.5 quarters against the 49ers, you thought he was beyond that type of mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And now this season, he has made mistakes that I would say I thought he was beyond. And he's not. And that's why my
Did
growth is linear
him?
Thing is accurate.
Did we crown him too early?
I kept fighting that
all
at the time.
You had to. But wait, Tausch, that's also not 100% fair because of the nature of the contractual beast that is the NFL quarterback position.
Well, we're not talking about the contract.
You had no. You could have played hardball, Evan. You could have played hardball with him.
I guess, but like that's not how this goes, right? We teams
I know.
Don't do that.
I agree, but I'm just asking because Jason wanted to be a little more vocal, I think. He didn't want the blowback because when I kept talking about this, I could sense that he was kind of saying, you know, and I'm not going to tell you what you were thinking, but you kept pausing and saying, hold up, very small sample size. I said, well, I saw enough in those 11 games that I'm pretty blank and excited about it. And I kept hearing Jason, hold up. But here we go.
I tried to be nuanced about it, but yes, I felt like, look, I believe he is a good quarterback today. And I believe he's going to be a very good quarterback when it's all said and done. Hall of Fame, I don't know. MVP, I don't know. He is going to be better than he is currently. And the issue, and we're going to play this in the 10 o'clock hour, is that I think it's situational awareness that is getting him in trouble. Because, look, I am the first to admit that I would bring up the lack of wow throws that I saw for the first 3 years I watched him.
Yeah,
and you don't
daily
hear me ever saying that now.
No.
Because there are plenty
in
of wow
both sides.
Throws.
Wow and whoa.
Wow
and, you got
wow
the wow and whoa.
Yeah.
Can I ask a deep psychological question about the Packers QB position? Because I'm fascinated by this. And maybe mm-hmm I'm overthinking.
Yes.
Okay.
You sure can,
right, here Anthony we go. Yeah. Every part of me believed that Aaron Rodgers did everything in his power to not beat Brett Favre. Is Jordan Love doing the same with his predecessor?
That is deep.
So I think I understand there's a complicated fella thing with Rodgers, obviously, these days. But
and it seems like Rodgers was good to Love. Honestly.
Yes, that's you finished Tausch's sentence, now you finished mine. Because I think, I mean, not only did he manage to make himself a villain on his way out of town to make things much better for Jordan Love, following him as opposed to Favre.
That was but really I think, good of him.
I think when Evan says he was hell-bent on not being Favre, that included doing everything he could to help Love. Now, do I believe in his heart of hearts that Aaron Rodgers didn't think that Jordan Love was going to be that good? And so it wasn't really threatening to him to help him because he didn't think it was going to be enough to get him to be a top-flight quarterback? I do. I do believe that.
Ooh,
I don't think he was threatened by
that's
him.
That's interesting.
I don't think he was threatened by him, so he didn't have any problem helping
was
him.
Was Favre
whereas
threatened
I think Favre
by Rodgers?
Was threatened by Rodgers, yes, I believe that. Do you
I would
think
agree
that?
With you on that.
Yeah.
Yes, I do think that. I do think that after it definitely rebooted Brett. I think Brett was going, and I can remember in Chicago, we're taking photos with him. Is he coming back? Is he not? And when they drafted Rodgers, I think he got a little spur in his boot and said, "Blank these blankers. I'm going to blank and play for a while now." I do believe that happened.
Guys, one thing here. I know you got to run in a second, but. I was in traffic just now, so I was stopped for a second. And I noticed there was a birthday email that went out for one Jesse Nelson, where internally you're asked questions, right, about like, you know, different things in your life. There were some interesting questions and answers for Jesse's birthday, like such as, what is your favorite song? Jesse said the Monday Night Football theme song is his favorite song.
Football guy.
Okay?
Nothing
that's
gets me more riled up than that Monday night. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, yeah.
And this one's going to bother Tausch, not because of the person he picked, but because of who he didn't pick. If you could have any celebrity crash your birthday party, who would it be? And he said Matt Hamilton of Jim, Matt, and Molly on ESPN Madison, not Tausch, which is interesting considering he works with Tausch every day. And his all-time favorite movie... National Treasure, his all-time favorite movie.
Oh, it's a good movie.
Fantastic
it's a good little movie.
That is very weird. Hey,
Nick,
very
did
weird.
You know that these answers were going to be publicly disseminated?
I had a feeling. I mean, I no, but yeah.
I mean,
hey Evan, last question before we let you go.
Tausch is done with that. Tausch is done.
What would you do? Would you ever insult? Would you ever insult your YouTube? Because we all are doing this because we have great fans. We have traditional audio listeners. We got the YouTube. We got Twitter. Would you ever think it's a good idea to insult your YouTube chatters? Is that ever good business?
Only if that's your character.
Interesting.
If that is who you are and that's the character that you're playing, and you are basically, may you rest in peace, one of my grandfather's best friends growing up, the great Don Rickles, and you're an insult comic, and that's what you're doing, sure. If you're a part of a show that wants to gain an audience, not ideal.
Wait
a minute.
I don't think the person on here is an insult comic. I don't know for sure because
who are we talking
I don't know
about?
Everything.
Hello.
It's a hypothetical. It's a hypothetical.
Who are we talking about? Tell me who you're talking about.
We're talking about Jesse.
Good morning.
Jesse and decision making. not in lockstep. Not linear.
He's got some Jordan Love in him. He's got a little Jordan Love. Jordan Love decision making.
More of a Favre.
All right, I'm super irritated right now because the fact that it's 10:03 Central Time, and I did not know that Evan's grandfather was close friends with Don Rickles, who I was a huge fan of in terms of his insult comedy.
Evan, could Don Rickles be effective?
More about this.
Could he be effective in today's culture?
No. Well, okay, no, hold on. Okay. Not effective. He would just be different. As sweet as Jason,
what
in his
mean?
Book, he mentioned my grandfather multiple times.
I want to find that.
I don't
that.
Know if Don Rickles' comedy plays in today's day and age. I don't know if it does.
I would.
You know that. You know one of the funniest Don Rickles.
This is on you, Jason. By the way, this is totally on you. We are ready to go to break, and now you bring up something that's super interesting.
It is super interesting.
So very quickly. Don Rickles was close to Tommy Lasorda, former Dodgers manager, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Spring training, Rickles told this story to Seinfeld on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee on Netflix. I had heard it before, but the way he told it was brilliant. So they're in spring training. Lasorda invites Rickles to go sit with him in the dugout, puts him in a Dodgers uniform. They had a pitching change to make. They're both old men, white hair, short, a little stumpy. Lasorda sent Rickles out to make the pitching change. They never noticed. He runs out of it to the mound. He goes for the reliever. And it wasn't the manager. It was Don Rickles.
Now that's funny.
Evan, we wish you
Rick Honeycutt, come on out. And Rick Honeycutt's like, who the hell is this? Who's no? Is this real?
Dodgers, talking Dodgers relievers. Gotta love it.
Thanks, Evan.
I
Jansen,
wonder if
Kelly Jansen.
Oh no,
Jansen Honeycutt. Eric
Welch.
Gagne, is that a name? Gagne,
yeah, but, that was way
yeah, but not Lasorda. You're
You are.
Yeah, you are. What else would you like to add?
Yeah, Bob Welsh, Mike Moore. These are some of the pitchers in Lasorda. Oral Hershiser, the late Fernando Valenzuela.
Well, those are starters, though. Yeah, those are starters.
I'm
trying to think of the old school relievers that they had.
Jesse Orozco was on the 88
Fernando,
World Series team.
R.I.P. to Fernando Valenzuela.
I just
he was
said
one
Orozco,
of
course, was on the 86 Mets. Final out of the World Series.
Yep. Indeed. His glove still hasn't come down. All right, we really need to go.
All right.
That was a fun little segment this morning. We covered a lot of ground.
It wasn't little.
Yeah.
A lot of hills we skied on that trip.
Yeah.
That is Evan Cohen. You can watch him and listen to him every weekday across ESPN Wisconsin and across ESPN on Unsportsmanlike. I do have the 1988 Dodgers roster in front of me. We're not going to delve into that.
Whoa, Nelly!
More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. Give him hell,
Cohen, make sure you check out Unsportsmanlike across ESPN Wisconsin every morning.
Twists and turns there.
It did. If you're like
a ski hill. Moguls.
Like Tim DeWight used to do. How did I?
Honest
here's
to
what
God,
bothers
that looks
me.
So painful.
Here's what
even
point
when my
in
knees
the game
were
did
good?
That happen? When did that happen?
I don't know.
Because
I'm not 100% sure why.
I had to have been walking the dogs because I did not hear this. Now, granted, when things were out of hand, was
maybe
I paying as close of attention?
Probably 35-10-ish range would be
yeah,
my guess.
That sounds about right
it
for our walk.
It wasn't early. Definitely wasn't early.
Because the game started at 6:30. Quarters. I'm just disappointed I missed this. If you, like me, are sitting there wondering, Jesse Nelson's birthday today, Lisa Knuth, Caitlin Sharkey, who else's birthday is today?
I feel like Lisa Knuth should have been a sleuth. She should have been a detective. Like, it just fits.
The K's not silent, unless it is, and I've been pronouncing her name wrong for as long as her son and our daughter have
Yama.
Gone to school together.
Yama.
Knuth.
Or she could be a dentist, Lisa Knuth, checking your tooth.
That's true, too. That's the absolute truth.
I will check in with her. I don't think she regularly listens to the program, but she might want to listen to some of the clips of today. November 5th birthdays. R.I.P. to Bill Walton, who would have been 72 today. Those still with us that are celebrating birthdays. Kris Jenner, the matriarch of the Kardashian family. Odell Beckham Jr. Jason Kelsey.
Wow.
One of the Jonas Brothers, I'm not sure which one this is, Kevin Jonas. And one of my favorite musicians, he does not do the Monday Night Football theme song, but from the 80s, Bryan Adams. Those are your November 5th birthdays in addition to Jesse's. There's a lot of TikTok and YouTube stars. Oh, and Jose Canseco's daughter, Josie. So there you go. Those are your November 5th birthdays that are celebrating along with Jesse. All right, I want to get to the exchange. What's the matter?
That was brutal. I felt like, welcome to 107.5. That was, I don't know what we just did right there.
I thought that might interest you. I guess I was wrong.
Bill Walton was interesting.
Oh,
and then
when
you started naming Jonas Brothers and TikTok enthusiasts, I'm kind of like, what the hell are we doing here?
Hey, but speaking of TikTok, did you see the woman in Milwaukee who dressed up as David Gruber and went viral on TikTok for being David Gruber for Halloween?
But I bet it was fun.
And then David Gruber had her to his office, and they met, and they did a little piece on TMJ4 News. David's everywhere, man, and he is beloved. When people think of Milwaukee, they think of David. And if you are thinking about a Halloween costume for next year, obviously that's not a bad one to choose. You might go viral again. And she's apparently friends with Josh DiMaggio. It's a small world after all. Kayla, great job, Kayla, dressing as David Gruber. And I hope that's your only interaction with David. You never have to call. One call, that's all, because you've never been injured in an accident. But if you have been, that's the call to make. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Grubloff's is one call. That's all. The 10 o'clock hour starts very late in 2 minutes. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.